Hey guys, welcome to Freedom Riders Podcast. Woo! I'm so super excited to be here with y'all again on another Friday. Super excited that it's Friday. I think Friday is like everybody's favorite day of the week, but I have to say Mondays, I love Mondays because it's like a new slate. You get to start over. So I'm cross between Mondays and Fridays, but I'm super excited to be here with y'all. You guys have been showing so much love for me on my podcast. I super duper appreciate it. But I'm so excited for this podcast because we have our first guest. Woo woo. And first, let me do a formal intro without no tears. Let's try this intro without no tears. This is like legit, like one of my bestest friends. We've known each other for like 16 years, which is insane. I think when I think about my life, I'm like, oh, I want to have a friend. I want to have friends I've had for like 20, 30 years. And I legit have friends like that. So I have known this wonderful, amazing piece of a life and human for 16 years. We went to high school together, right, Tiana?
I think we started in seventh grade.
Oh my God. Yeah. So yeah, dang. So we went to middle school, basically. Is that middle school? Middle school, yeah. Together. Oh my gosh. We met in middle school in Cali, and she's still in Cali, even though I'm in Texas. We've tried to get her out here, but she ain't moved yet. It's cool though. We're gonna breeze past that. But she's so amazing, and our show today is going to be absolutely phenomenal because she is going to share some very deep and intricate pieces of her life, and I'm super excited because it's the month for what she's going to share, so I want to give her a chance to talk about it and just kind of open you guys up to her world. And so this is Tiana.
Hey guys.
Yes. Hey. Welcome to Freedom Rider Podcast. Bro, you are the first guest. Like, how do you feel?
I am actually like so excited. I've never been this excited about a podcast before. And it's so funny because it's your podcast.
Right. Right. Freaking crazy. Bro, who would have thought? Like 16 years later, here we go. Like,
yes. And I've been listening to your podcast since you started. So when you reached out to me, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so sweet. Like, we're gonna be on the podcast.
Oh God, this is one of those relationships where you be like, you know how they have like the memes out that say there's people in your life for a reason, some for a season. Like, this is where you be like, oh my God, like this person was placed in my life for a reason.
Definitely a reason.
So I'm just like super excited. And then when I saw what you were doing, I definitely was like, yes, this is like really, you know, what my show is geared towards in so many different avenues. And I want to open up those avenues for places that maybe I don't necessarily haven't dealt with or don't deal with, but somebody else does, to make sure I hit, you know, every genre of person. Mm-hmm. And give them a chance to, you know, have somewhere they can come where they can have a freedom discussion about anything.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you introduce yourself, and she's going to tell you guys, you know, basically what she's on here to share, and we're going to dive into it. So go ahead, Tiana.
Hi, everybody. So like Ari said, I am Tiana Nicole, and I am an MS survivor. I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2016, so I'm going on my third year as being a survivor. And I recently started to open up a little bit more about just my journey through my diagnosis. It's been a long journey, and it's not a lot of, like, I'm a mom, I'm 30 years old, I'm a mom, and I have a 4-year-old son, and it's not a lot of us out there that talk about it. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think about multiple sclerosis, you think about, you know, older people or Caucasian people, you don't really hear about a lot of African Americans that have it. Like, the only person when I first got diagnosed was Montel Williams. That's the first person that came to my head.
Oh wow.
Dang. And that's the only person that I've ever even heard of that has mm-hmm. it. Is yeah. Montel Williams. And yeah. like that's like from back in the day day. Like I don't know. I don't know nobody, you know, recent that has yeah. been diagnosed with it, you know. So for me it was like I was going through my journey and like my relapses and just going in and out of the doctor and mm-hmm. you know, I was going through that with just me and my family. Mm-hmm. I never opened up to people about it. Like, if you didn't know me personally,
yeah,
you wouldn't really you wouldn't know anything that I'm going through besides what I decide to post on social media, which is rare that I even talk about it on social media.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why, like, after my last relapse, I had to realize, like, okay, you got to get it together. Like, you're not doing this alone. So you can't just try and do it by yourself and your mm-hmm. family. Like, it's a lot of people that go through it. It's a lot of moms. And it's like, first of all, being a mom is hard.
Listen, let me tell you something. When I found out there was no return policy, I kind of was like, right. Oh, shoot.
it gets real. Like, mm-hmm. it gets so real when you are being a mom. And then being a mom with something like multiple sclerosis, it's like, bro, I'm tired 90% of the time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm fatigued, I'm exhausted, and then I'm still going to school. I'm still yeah. trying to do my business. And I still have a 4-year-old at home that's nonstop until he gets in bed at night. So, right. you know, like, what I'm supposed to do?
Right, like, ask him to borrow some his energy. Like, bro, mom needs it. Okay, mom needs
yeah. it. Like, and it's like, you know, the struggle with having something like this, it's real because yeah. I go through days where I'm just extremely tired and it's to where I'm taking 45 minute naps on my lunch in my car wow. because I'm that tired.
Yeah.
And I'm getting home like after class and I'm just falling asleep. My boyfriend has to take, you know, get me undressed just to put me in the bed because I'm tired. I can't
wow.
even do anything, you know, else. And then well, it's like,
can you go explain to us, you know, what MS is, what multiple sclerosis is?
So multiple sclerosis is an autoimmune disease and it attacks your nerve system.
Mm.
So for me, like I have, well, now I have four. When I was first diagnosed, I had 3 lesions. I had 2 on my spine
mm-hmm.
and 1 on my brain. And so what happens is when you have a relapse, your lesions are inflamed. And then okay. that causes all this other stuff, depending on where your lesions are, to happen. Mm. So for me, like, when I have a relapse, sometimes if I'm having a relapse and it's the lesion that's on my brain that's inflamed, then it's like my vision is bad and I'm having headaches. Or if it's like when I was first diagnosed, the lesions on my spine, well, actually, when I first got diagnosed, all 3 lesions were inflamed. So my vision was bad and I had lost all the feeling on my right side.
Wow.
But that was because of my lesions, yeah. So then when I had another relapse, it was just the lesion on my brain that was inflamed and my vision was impaired. Mm-hmm. And then I had another relapse and that was caused by another lesion that had popped up. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends on where your lesions are as far as what kind of, you know, relapse you're going to have. But mm-hmm. everybody, like with MS, it's not one specific thing that everybody has besides the teeth, but everybody's symptoms are different. You know, everybody goes through different things. So it's just one of the things, like you just got to roll with the punches when you have it.
Yeah. So, you found out about this and what year did you say?
I got diagnosed in December of 2016.
Okay. 2016. So kind of, if you don't mind, like walk us through how you even, you know, found out, like what kind of happened?
When I first found out, that was probably like the scariest part
mm-hmm.
of the whole thing. Like, and I've talked to other people and their initial diagnosis wasn't as bad as mine. Like some people were just like, oh, my vision was blurry, I went to the doctor, or you know, I couldn't see for a couple of days, I went to the doctor. But mine was literally within a 2-week span. I went from completely quote unquote normal to 14 days later I'm in a hospital bed and can't move my leg.
Wow. So
yeah, my symptoms were they were really bad and it came out of nowhere. I woke up one day and my scalp was numb. And like, just like the right side of my face was numb. I'm like brushing my teeth. Like, it feels so weird. Like, why? I can't, like, I'm scratching my head and I'm like, I can't feel that. That's so weird. I was like, maybe because I didn't get a lot of sleep that night. My initial thought was like, oh, like, I was like, maybe my right side is just still asleep and my left side is woke. So whatever. Like, I'm up. So whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't think nothing about it. The next day, it was like my hands start going numb. And I'm like, dang. Like, so it just literally, everything gradually just started happening. So it was like my vision had kind of started getting blurry. And then by the end of that week, my arm was like, I couldn't even grip my steering wheel.
That's how bad it was.
So I'm like not even thinking. I was like, and this is weird, but whatever. So I go to the doctor. She's like, well, I don't, like, physically, it's just, you know, that strength in your arm, so whatever. She's like, well, we'll just get you, I think she tried to give me a referral to a, she wanted me to get a CAT scan. And I'm like, okay, get a CAT scan. My CAT scan was fine. I'm like, okay. A week later, I'm walking, and it's getting harder and harder to walk, so by the end of the next week, literally, I had a drop foot, like, I'm dragging my leg around trying to walk.
Now, is it, like, painful?
It wasn't.
Or is it just numb?
It's just numb. It wasn't painful for me.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. But the walking part started to get painful eventually, but it wasn't really that much pain for me.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And so she sends me to, like, I go to her, I see her again, and I'm like, okay, so now my leg is, like, tripping. Like, she's, like, doing reflexes and stuff, and it's just my body's not
responding.
Mm-hmm. So she's like, I'm going to send you to another, I forgot the kind of doctor she sent me to, but I had to get a referral to another doctor, like, I think it's like a, not the hand, foot, and mouth doctor, I don't know. It was some other doctor that she sent me to.
A different kind of specialist, yeah.
Yeah, because it's when my leg had started to go out. And they were like, well, we don't see anything wrong. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, like, it was crazy. And I go, I have UCLA as my doctor, and I have really good doctors. So being that, like, I'm going 2 weeks straight without.
That's what I'm thinking. That's, like, insane.
Yeah, it's like, and I'm, you know, I'm still going to work. I'm still driving. So I'm, like, on the phone with Nana, and I'm like, Nana, you know, my leg is tripping. So I'm really trying to figure out how to drive with my left foot. I'm not even trying to figure, you know, like, the doctor's got to figure. I'm just like, somebody got to teach me how to drive. I got to go. Like, I got to go.
Like, I can't stop. Right.
Yeah, like, I can't just stop everything. So, you know, that was my whole thought process. So I'll never forget the day that my doctor called me. And she's like, she had got a referral for me. But I think the day that I would get that appointment was, like, a couple, like, 2 or 3 weeks out.
Uh-huh.
And she called me and she said, you can't wait another 2 or 3 weeks. Like, you need to go to the hospital today. And I'm just like, boo-boo crying on the phone. Like, what? She's like, you need to go to the emergency room tonight because they will admit you and they will find out what's wrong with you. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I'll get off the phone with her and I call one of my coworkers because she had been literally watching me, you know, go through everything whole entire 2 weeks. So I'm calling her and I'm crying. I don't like hospitals. Like, I would prefer to stay away from him. So I'm just kind of like, well, I got to go to the doctor. I got to go to the hospital. I don't know what to do. I'm just crying. And she's like, calm down. And it's funny when I call people crying because I'm not a crier.
Yes.
So when I call people and I cry, they like freak out.
Yeah. So, like, let me say this. I swear I probably only heard Tiana cry like maybe 3 times in my life. And it was like a death or something. But no. So I probably would have been freaked out. Like, what in the world is happening?
Like, what's going on?
Right?
So I have like called her and I'm crying. And she's like, well, just go. Don't worry about it. Just go. I'll find like somebody to work for you tomorrow, whatever. So I go to the emergency room that night. And that was a Thursday. And by Friday, I had already been, like, they had diagnosed me on Friday. But, like, I went in the hospital. I was still, so, when I got to the hospital, I was able to still walk into the hospital. By Friday morning, my leg was completely out of whack. Like, I couldn't even lift it up.
Wow.
Yeah. And so, like, me and yo, the doctors came over, and they're like, we're going to just do, you know, a couple physical tests. So, we need you to lift your leg up. And I'm like, okay. So I'm like, literally every muscle in my body is like, oh, you got this. Go, girl. Push it up. Right. And I'm watching my leg, and it's not budging a bit. Like, my toe didn't move, pinky toe, nothing. Like,
wow.
Nothing moved. And I just broke down crying, like, okay, no, like, this is for real. This is serious right
yeah.
now.
Yeah, that's what kind of, like, when it set in. Like, that yes, something was going still, on.
I was like, they're going to figure it out. I'm not worried, but... When I couldn't physically move my own leg, right. it's like, oh, this is crazy.
So
I ended up, I ended up getting an MRI. I got an MRI and I got a spinal tap. And after they did the spinal tap, then that's when they were able to see everything.
Wow. So that's crazy. Like, I mean, it's scary. I couldn't imagine, like, slowly but surely, it's kind of like your every certain parts of your body just started shutting down, like your nervous system started to shut down. I remember one time, scariest time of my life. I had like done, I was taking some weight loss pills. This is like when I was trying to lose weight before I started my whole weight loss journey the natural way, and you know, started to want to become a trainer, but like I was determined to like lose weight, of course, whatever. So I started taking these, it was hydroxycut, that's what I did. And I was on the freeway. I went to, I was fine. I was getting headaches, right? I was getting headaches and I was like, oh, I'm not drinking enough water. Da, 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 da. And I was perfectly fine. I was on the phone paying the bill and I just started feeling really sick, like nauseous and like dizzy. And so I got off the freeway and I ended up making it into like a car auto place and my whole nervous system shut. Like I couldn't move none of my limbs. And everybody thought I was crazy. And I'm like, no, I can't move. Like, the only thing I could do was barely hold a cell phone and I was shaking. And I was like, my lower half of my body won't move. And I kept telling everybody my nervous system is shutting down. Like, y'all don't get it, but it's really happening. And I had to get like an ambulance to come get me in or whatever. And they literally took the pills out my backpack and was like, the pills don't tell you what's in them. They literally don't tell you what's in them. And they're like, you have no idea how much of anything is in it or what's in it. They threw them in the trash. And that was like my first and last day ever taking any type of weight loss pills or whatever. So I can kind of understand how scary that is because I felt like paralyzed.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt.
Right. And it's scary. And the only thing I could do was talk. And then I was like stuttering. Like it was scariest thing that ever happened. So I could kind of understand, you know, where you were mentally with that. And I can only imagine the strength it took to fight from this. Because like you said, as far as you knew, you were quote unquote normal. Like your whole life was normal. And then boom, all of a sudden, within 2 weeks, your whole life changes. And how long were you hospitalized?
I was in the hospital for 5 days. Well, I was in the hospital for 5 days and then I was in rehab for 5 days.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. I know you had to go through rehab. So now so this was 2016. So we're in 19. So it's been about what, 3 years.
I got diagnosed at the end of 2016.
Oh, in December. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been about 3 years. And of course the whole concept of Freedom Riders is really talking about how you like overcome something and how you found your freedom. And I know that you're on a journey to, like you said, open up. Because Tiana, let me tell y'all something, I've known Tiana for a long time. She is a very private person. When I found out about what was going on, it's because she wrote this long post on freaking Facebook. And her, I called her sister because me and her sister are basically best friends too. We've all known each other so long. Mm-hmm. And her sister lives out here. And I said, what the heck happened to Tiana? And that's when I finally got the tea, y'all. She didn't even tell me. She didn't tell nobody. You would have never known. And so, so she is a very private person. So, you know, I know you're on this journey to kind of be open more, you know, and you started Tiana Nicole with love, right?
Yeah, with Love Tiana Nicole.
With the Love of Tiana Nicole. And if I have it correctly, it's basically a platform where you're able to talk about and share how it is being 30 years old, a mother, and having MS. Because like you said, I've only known older people to have this problem too. So I think that's amazing. So kind of, I guess, walk us through how you finally got here and what you want to do with it. And and how you found your freedom in this, because I know it couldn't have been easy.
No, it definitely was probably like the hardest. It's been the hardest task I've ever had to encounter, because I'm not even completely through it. Like, yeah. It's just the hardest thing I've had to encounter in my entire life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I started Tiana Nicole with Love Tiana Nicole as just a platform to open up. And it's like the things that I love and I want to give, because I'm a very giving person. I yes. want to give as much of myself as I can. So it's just a way to open up about real life stuff that yeah. real life, like, you know, real people go through. Right. And my journey with MS has been, like I said, like I'm 3 years in and mm-hmm. I'm just now getting to the accountability stage of being diagnosed, because I mm-hmm. went through the angry stage, the depression stage, the denial stage. And now, like, I've even went through the acceptance. It took me a year to even accept that's what I had.
And that's because I want to say something right there, because there's so many things in life we can all go through that still have the core things that we all battle. Like you said, depression, mm-hmm. acceptance, acknowledgement. Mm-hmm. And those is so, it's crazy that I think a lot of people in the world feel like people don't understand, because it's not the specific situation. But the core of most of our pain and things we go through are usually those things: accepting something, acknowledging it, depression, you know, and dealing with the sadness and things like that. So, you know, I definitely wanted to address that, because it's not so much about your story, this story, that story. It's really finding a common ground to know that we can help each other out, because I have been where you've been at the core of the situation.
Yeah. And like, I've always been this type of person, like, I just want to help people as much as I can, but I like to do it without being seen. I'm mm-hmm, not, you know, mm-hmm. I don't like to be out and open. I don't like to be known. Like, let me just chill back here and do what I'm doing, you know. Yeah. I love you from a distance. I'm help y'all. I don't know nobody. Like, you know, I'm that type of person.
Right.
So for me, now that I'm in the acceptance phase and the accountability phase of being diagnosed, like, mm-hmm. it's all coming together as to why this is my diagnosis. Because I sat in the hospital and I'm like, you know, God, I don't understand. Like, what did I do? Where did I mess up for me to have to go down this path? Mm. But it's like, my voice is bigger than, it's going to be bigger than I could even imagine.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm put on this earth to help people and to, you know, be a support system for people. Yeah. So this is, in order for me to do that, I have to go through something like this, because I have to take accountability of what I'm doing, what I'm doing wrong, what I'm doing right, and learn from it and be able to open up and express it to other people so that they can get through what they're getting through. You know what I mean?
And but the perception you decided to take on it, and it's so crazy, because this whole year at our church, we've been dealing with perception. Like, it's all about how you perceive things. The perception you took on it is the right perception. You know, same thing with me, like, going through a divorce and getting married and going through struggles again, I always would sound like, oh God, why me? What is this about? But when your perception becomes what you basically said is, it's a platform for God to use you in a greater way. Mm-hmm. And you feel more, it's still hard, but it makes it a little bit easier, because our life is, we're supposed to live it for other people. You know, we're supposed to help others. That's what we were put on this. We were put on the planet to help each other. And so it's like, with what you're going through and the perception you took on it is, you know, you do ask God why. That's one thing that I think people try to make it seem like, oh, it's so wrong to ask God why. Let me tell you something. Some of the greatest men ask God why, okay? I read my Bible. I know what it says. Some of the greatest people ask God why. So it's not a matter, problem with asking why, but then it's like, what do you do after you ask him why? And like you said, your perception, you shifted from, you know, this is horrible, it sucks, my life is changing, to, okay, well, let me do what it is he wants me to do. And when I went through my first divorce, I had to understand. I remember literally one time I prayed so much, Tiana. I prayed, y'all, I had prayed Jesus down himself, okay? I prayed. And I just couldn't understand, like, why. I'm like, I'm a good person. Like, I love, I'm giving. Like, anybody who genuinely knows me knows that I'm very pure of heart. Like, why would this happen? And it was so crazy because I remember to this day, Tiana, I was in a Walmart, like, just pouring my heart out. Crazy enough, I was pouring my heart out to my current husband, which was my best friend at the time, my male best friend. I'm like, what? And then God said, clear as day, he said, it's not, I need you to go through it for others. It's not about you. I need you to make it through so that you can teach and help other people make it through. And from that day to this day, I shut my mouth, I grit my teeth, I cried the tears I need to cry, but I don't regret it, because even going through it, and even in the moments where it was hard and I was upset and I was depressed, in the back of my mind, I always remembered that of saying, but it's not for me. It's not for me. It's to help somebody else out, you know? And if you, through this, what you've experienced and what you have and what you're going through, can help another woman stop herself from committing suicide, you know? From giving up on life, from giving up her child because she feels like it's too much to handle. If you could stop somebody from doing that, it's worth it. I'm sorry, you know?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely worth it, because we all need to see somebody else who made it through.
Yeah. And I know, like, other people who have family members that have MS, but they're older.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them say, like, yeah, they just let it eat them up, you know? So they're, like, in a wheelchair now, they're wheelchair bound, they can't do this, they can't do that, and it's because they gave up, because it is something hard to deal with, it is something hard, because you don't have control over it.
You don't
have control over when you're going to have a relapse, you know? You never actually know when it's going to happen. Like, even the medication that we take for it, is just to keep our lesions from being inflamed, but it doesn't stop MS from growing, it does, you know, from us getting more lesions. Anything can happen at any given time. So, you know, you have to have that mentality of just keep going, because if not, it will eat you up and it will take you out.
So where do you feel like you, at what point did you reach, or have you reached it, or where do you feel like you finally was like, you know what, I'm going to stand up to this. I'm not going to let it beat me. And, you know, kind of started to change your mindset, because you said, you know, you battled through depression and all these things. So where do you feel like you finally caught that strength and was like, no, I'm not going to let it beat me?
It was my last relapse, which was in February.
Mm.
I had another relapse. So I have been on my medication, but me and my boyfriend, we wanted to have another baby. So I'm like, okay. I have to be off my medication for 3 months in order to get pregnant, because the medication is not safe for pregnancy. So we decided, you know, Jordan keeps asking about another baby. He thinks he's going to have all these siblings, you know, all his friends have a baby. He's like, yeah, my mommy going to have me a baby. I'm like,
We just the baby makers. They just pop them out, mom.
To this day, you pregnant yet? You pregnant yet? I'm like, boy, no. So it was around that time, and it was like right after I turned 30, because I just, me and my boyfriend, I was like, I'm not going to be pregnant on my 30th birthday, sweetie. I'm sorry.
I can't do it.
I gave up my 25th. I'm not giving up my
30th. Exactly.
So we were like, okay, after my birthday, we can get pregnant. I mean, you know, we can
try. Yeah.
Go and do the whole process. So I'm like, okay, fine. I stopped my medication, and it was just a lot going on at the time. Like, just life going on.
Yeah.
And the stress started kicking up. So I started stressing a lot. And stress is a very big factor in relapses with MS. Like, stress triggers a relapse instantly. So I literally went a month without being on medication before I had a relapse. And I'm supposed to be off for 3 months. And I'm like, I'm not going to make these 3 months. There's no way. So I ended up having a relapse. And for me, the relapse wasn't, my relapse wasn't the scary part.
Okay.
Because my first relapse that I had, I took one steroid pill and I was fine. I'm like, okay, cool. I can do that. Whatever.
Okay.
I'm just like, here, I'm going to go to the doctor. He's going to give me one pill. I'm going to be cool.
Mm.
Girl, I went to this neurologist and he's like, yeah, so we're going to put you on a 5-day steroid. I said, what? Oh, what? How many days? I had to be on IV steroids for 5 days.
Wow.
So, yes. And I'm like, so wait, am I going back to the hospital? He's like, no, you know, you can do it at home. So I'm thinking, oh, that's cool. I'm at home. You know, I do it in comfort of my own home. I'll be fine. So what brought me out of that? Like, what triggered that whole, you got to fix this, is because I'm at home.
Uh-huh.
I have this pole next to my bed. I have this IV port in my hand, and my son is here.
Oh,
and
wow.
He's watching this nurse come in every day for 5 days and put this IV in my arm. And when I first took it, the steroid, I almost threw up as soon as he started because it was coming out too fast. So I'm like, he's like literally at the edge of my bed on an ottoman, and I'm throwing up in the bag, and I'm like, okay, this is not okay. Like, you know, I don't want you to see me like this. Like, I've never wanted him to see me that type of way, you know what I mean? To where I'm just really sickly.
Yeah.
So he's here. So I'm just like, oh crap. So I was just like going through it for a couple of days or whatever. And after that, the couple of days went by, and he was so worried about me and so stressed that and I'm just like, this is not okay. Like,
and this is your son. Yeah.
Yeah, like he's a 4-year-old, and he's really like, Mommy, are you okay? Are you still sick? Is your arm okay? And he's going to school, and he's telling his teachers, like, you know, my mommy's at home and she's sick. And I'm just like, okay, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Like, I never wanted him to even have to worry that much about me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I start having these thoughts like, oh crap, like what if I get too sick and I'm in a wheelchair and he's 16 and has to take care of me and wheelchair me around, and I'm just like, okay, no, I'm capped out. I can't do this anymore. So that was kind of my son that made me like, you gotta get it together.
Yeah.
Like, you're not about to be that mom that's down and out, and your son's gonna have to take care of you. That's
wrong. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's deep. And kids, they're so sweet. They're so amazing. They're the best because they just give you life. And especially when they're just concerned. They're doing, you know, it's like natural concern. It's pure concern, even though they don't fully understand what's going on. And I totally understand. My kids are one of the reasons that I snapped out of my depression moments and things like that, because I'm like, so what are you going to leave your kids? You know, like I talked about in a previous episode, like I was suicidal at one time, and it was just like, so you're going to do this because you can't take it, but then you're inadvertently putting it on somebody else to take the pain, and you're starting a cycle for their life, and they don't even have control over it. You know, like, you're going to put them through something that they didn't have a say so in, and it just is a perpetual cycle of hurt and pain and just continuing to feed that through generations and generations. And so you do have to be very conscious and aware, especially as a parent, of what you're doing and what your choices are, and in making, you know, better choices, if it's better choices for yourself or for them. Say, a lot of times, you know, it's better choices for us that affect them.
Mm-hmm.
And and so I think that's beautiful that even though, you know, that you said February, that wasn't too long ago, but right. You know, some which we got to talk about that after the show, but there's definitely things God puts in our lives and things that happen in our lives and situations that happen to kind of like snap us into, you know, the wake up moment. So the beautiful thing about all this is that you've birthed with love, Tiana Nicole. And if I'm correct, this month is MS Awareness Month. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That was like a big thing for me too, to start it just in time for MS Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Because this is my life, and this is my story, and this is, you know, my everyday. So let me share this with you guys, and hopefully my story can help somebody else that's out there and that's dealing with it and don't know how to do it alone or don't want to do it alone or have no choice, or, you know, it's, you know, that's what I want to be for somebody else.
So tell us how to follow all your information, so that if anybody's listening, you know, we're going to share, we're going to blast it, we're going to get it out there. And so they can follow you, and they will have a place they know they can come, that they're not alone, and somebody who definitely understands.
So on social media, you can follow me at With Love Tiana Nicole. It's NICHOLE.
Mm-hmm.
that is the Instagram that I have surrounding my story. And I also have a YouTube page that I will be starting up in a few days, actually. Woo! And it's, thank you. And it is Tiana Nicole, N-I-C-H-O-L-E. And that's where you can find me.
Cool. So that is Instagram, and it's going to be YouTube channel, right?
Yes, that's Instagram and YouTube.
Okay, cool. So make sure you guys go look her up. Look her. She posts some really amazing inspirational posts, because I see them. I've seen them. They're amazing. Thank you. Yes. And I mean, I just want you to know that stepping out and sharing something like this and something so personal, you know, and getting so deep and honest is the most beautiful, purest thing. And it's definitely what we need right now in our generation, in our world. Is it's so, so filtered, if I can say it like that. The whole, our everything is so filtered. And people just want reality, and they want authenticity. Is that how you say it? I think so.
No, authenticity.
Authenticity. There we go. I'm like, something in there. And but that's what people are looking for. And we've become such a filtered world that you don't know which is what and what it is and blah, 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 blah. So you kind of got to, when you come out with something like what me and you are trying to do, you got to come full. You got to come naked. Like, this is the real deal. Like, this is really what happened to me. And
right.
I mean, of course, I love you to death, and I'm so proud of you, and I think it's amazing. Like, yeah, keep being honest, keep pouring it out, keep giving it, because I know when I first started and I was going to talk about some of the things like being suicidal and depressed and the craziness that I did and didn't, whatever, I was like, oh, what are people going to think? And I've gotten more love and support because I've been that way, and I've had more people come to me like, I've battled the same thing, but I feel like people's gonna call me crazy or whatever, and so beautiful. It's beautiful. Keep doing it. Keep being honest. We're going to continue to pray for you, but I think that you got to do a new perspective on it, and it's gonna be amazing. So I'm super excited for everything you're doing.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited for people to hear my story, be encouraged to, you know, just keep going, because this, something like this will shut you down, but we are amazing women. Yes. We're mothers, and yes, we're put on this earth to keep going. We're not supposed to stop just because something gets in our way. Like, that's what we're teaching our kids, keep going.
Yes, so, yes. And
I'm excited.
And finding the freedom in it. Like, that's what it sounds like you found your... You're like, okay, your aha, your freedom. And that's what it's about. Is like, everybody goes through their difficult situation, and everybody's in some type of situation. But when you find the freedom in the midst of that situation, that's where that to me, that peace that surpasses all understanding comes, because I've found a freedom in the midst of something that I can't control. And that's exactly it. So that is Freedom Writers Podcast for this Friday. We are super, super excited on the journey we're going on. We thank you. Thank you, Tiana Nicole, for being on.
And thank you for having me. I'm so happy and just so in love with everything you're doing right now.
Aww.
Keep doing it, and make sure that you stay as open and transparent as you are, because there's not too many people that are like that.
What?
So you keep going, you keep telling your story, and you keep being exactly who you are.
Oh, thank you, my love. Well, I will be back next Friday. We're going to have Tiana Nicole on again, because she has other things that she wants to talk about, like what to eat. And it's different how she deals with it with a mom and all these kind of amazing things. So we're definitely going to have you back on. So just be prepared. And as y'all listen, this was getting her out of her shell. So we got her feet wet now. Now we're going to put her on the train and have her ride in. But yo, thank you guys for tuning in. It is now available, Woo Whoop, on all Apple podcast platforms, of course, Anchor, and then you can also listen to it on Pocket Cast, something or other. I'll get it for sure and kind of write it out in my post and when I send it around. But definitely on iTunes, all Apple platforms, and Anchor. You can always download it here. Next up is going to be on Google Play, so nobody will have no excuses. Woo woo. And I'll see you guys next Friday. Appreciate y'all for tuning in. Remember, comment, share. send in your questions if you want to, if you have a topic you want me to discuss. And then inside the Anchor app, you can leave like little voicemails and I can answer them on live when I get on and do my recording. So all those platforms are available. Thank you so much. Keep sharing. Keep loving me. Keep supporting me. I love you guys. I'm going to keep giving you all of me. And thank you for listening to Freedom Riders Podcast. You guys have a good day. All right. Bye.